This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about the premiere episode, or I guess part one of the premiere, of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 14. Ooh, I had so much fun with this episode, so I cannot wait to break everything down with our fabulous panel. So first, let me welcome in Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you?
I'm great. I also had a lot of fun with this episode. It really feels like, you know, they went to the store, grabbed all of the ingredients that make Drag Race really, really fun, put them into like this great big pot of jambalaya, if it were, and made that shit work. So I'm excited. I'm hoping that this sort of like lasts and that we continue to stay on this high level of excitement before things go south.
Yeah, they definitely didn't forget the Tony Satcheries, got all the spices, the seasoning that they need in there, because this really was a recipe for a successful episode of Drag Race. And also with us today, of course, we have Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
So good. I'm so good. I had such a good time with this episode. I can't wait to break it down. And I just like, I haven't been this excited. You remember last year we were like, oh, we're only halfway through the premiere. And now we're like, oh, we're halfway through. There's more. Like, we're excited. So I like this stark contrast between last year's season 13 premiere, part one, and this year. So I'm excited to break it all down with you guys.
Yeah, so I think
fan coming from Aman now.
Yeah, you know, I was like, oh, I have one of those now. Let me just, you know, something slight for the girls. You know?
I'm gonna have to get one for Liana. We can all have a fan.
Well, I was gonna say, I am like so cold right now. I've got like blankets, I'm wrapped up. I got tea. It's freezing. I can hear the wind outside.
It is definitely January something.
Yeah, got snow on the ground. Okay, so let's get into all of the fabulousness. So I think the main thing we got to start talking about is the format of the premiere episode, because we know it's going to be two parts. We get seven queens, seven queens. And I think one thing that I've noticed, Beth, is like the Drag Race is hearing the criticism that we don't get to know the first girls. Yeah. We don't get to know them. And so I think that this is another way to try to get us to know some of these queens.
I think so, too. And I think that what I'm really appreciating out of production is that we're not hiding or making the queens go, oh, my gosh, what's going on? Like we have in the edit, they're fully being like, oh, so we know it's a split premiere again. Great. Yep. We have Bosco saying, great, this is going to give people an opportunity to really see me for who I am in the first episode. So it's, you know, we're not dumbing it down to the audience at all. We're not like, oh no, what's happening? Is there, there's only seven of us? Like,
yeah, like none of that dumb shit. Like, I feel like it really lends itself to like why this sort of episode just felt like fresher and newer. Not just because it's a brand new season, but yeah, it kind of feels like a new era of the show. The era where the edit doesn't have to be so heavy handed, where the era where they're not going to treat us like we're dumbasses. Like, yeah, it's a split premiere. The seven other girls must be on the other way. And so, you know, we'll see them when we see them. But hey, sis, like, I like it. I mean, at first I was kind of like, oh, I just want to see everybody, because we just spent that entire drafting podcast, you know, and I was like, I want to see all the people that I drafted. And I got to see one of them today, which was, you know, if there was one that I had to wait for, then it would have been this one. But yeah, I feel like it's nice because, you know, when there's seven queens, yes, you obviously get to see all of them and get to know them a little bit more. But, you know, it's like a double-edged sword. It's like, yeah, like there's nowhere to hide. So you really have to show out or you're going to go home. But on the flip side, if you do well, you're a little bit more memorable because your win is less lost in the sea of pussy willows. So it'll be fun.
The sea of pussy willows is a fantastic phrase. We should use that.
Now I just wanted something coming to America, right? Yeah. Like that's what we're going for here. I think for me, part of me, I totally see what you're saying, Amon, because I want to eat all the candy all at once. Like, give me every single flavor. I want to taste it all. And this is a little bit like the adult in me now. I'm like, you'll get a tummy ache. Like, don't savor it. Enjoy the seven flavors that you have right now. Mm-hmm. Next week, you'll get to have all seven, you know, seven new flavors. And then
finish your cornbread. Yes. Finish your jambalaya. Finish your
greens, like, you know, before you have your dessert. And so I get to sort of have those. And then the third week, you get to see them all interact together. Because I think then that's another element that is always so fun, is seeing these really strong personalities interact with one another. And of course,
it's like the merge on Survivor, but
exactly. And it's merge episode three, you know. I can get behind that.
And I think the reason why I like this season so much better is because we're getting to know the queens through the talent show rather through this stupid pork chop lounge situation where we're like, let's crush dreams in the first day. That's not as much fun to watch as like, let's see what people think that will put their best foot forward in the competition, introduce themselves to the audience and to the judges, in production, just in general, and do it in a way that is more organic than, hey, why don't you guys are losers group, go be together. And then winners group, you're going to go. Like, I liked the season six split where you had like, the first group versus the second group, and by episode four, they're like all completely intermixed. Like, I felt like one of the things that was kind of a source of drama, but really just was lame production driven drama in season 13 was this whole like pork chop lounge girls versus the winner's circle. And that didn't come off like as genuine. Like it just was like, hey,
no one really wants to see that. Like it's like, you know, like the whole like, let's knock you down and then build you back up narrative really isn't the serve that I think producers think it is on reality TV. So yeah, I agree. Like you already gave them the access. You gave them the keys to the competition. They're here. They're all happy and everything. Now let them be happy. Let them perform at their like at their most heightened excitement, and then crush their dreams. Like I don't need for them to walk into the workroom and then get their dreams crushed. Like, that's stupid to me. Just like have them perform at their best when they feel like they're really feeling their oats, and then say, "Actually, sis, sashay away." Like it's you did what you did, but it wasn't good enough. Now bye. That to me feels a little bit more. I feel it more. Like, I really didn't want to see the person that went home today go home. I didn't want to see any of them go home because they did such a good job of showcasing who these queens were. So I agree entirely.
So, I mean, obviously compared to last season, this is 1,000% improvement, right? So I think that comparison, Avi, very clear. What is interesting is to think about season six versus season 12. So season six, right, we had Queens Go Home, which is what we had here in the split premiere. In season 12, we had the two groups against each other. I mean, they weren't really. They just each did. I think one did Phenomenon, one did Was that that was season 13? Thinking of? What were the two songs that they did in
one was in season 12, 12 it was I'm the bitch.
I'm that bitch. I'm that bitch. Oh, and you don't know me?
Yes. I can only remember I'm that bitch. So I guess that group.
I'm going to be honest. All RuPaul songs are starting to just like blend into one song for me. I used to be able to like be such a super fan. I'd be like, oh no, that is definitely the version that has Michelle Visage's features in it, but that's not the other one. Like, I mean, like, I can't do that anymore.
Same. Maybe they both did on that bitch. Anyway, whatever. Like a Fosse? Didn't someone have to do Fosse? Why do I remember that being a thing? Whatever. Okay, we're not here to talk about history of RuPaul's Drag Race. The point is that both season 12 and season 13 did these sort of two non-elimination episodes. So my question is, do we think that Orion is actually gone? Or do we think that there's going to be sort of she'll be brought back. Like the first two queens eliminated from these first two episodes. Just going off of the history of the past two seasons, they haven't actually eliminated anybody. So I wonder if this is, you know, okay, are we going back to season six style where they're gone? Or is this sort of a merge between, well, we want to give the drama of someone going home, but we're not actually going to eliminate them.
Well, it's interesting because normally the audience is brought in on the, hey, like, you're not going home yet. Like with that, ooh, girl, like message or something like that. But we didn't see anything. And genuinely, when Orion goes home, I was like actually very genuinely heartbroken. Like her reaction was so broken and I felt so bad. It reminded me a lot of like when James Mansfield goes home in the first elimination of season nine.
He came in first.
Yeah. But then she's like, you know, be kind, like
yeah, just please like, be on the internet, please be nice or whatever.
And I was just like, oh my God, I'll be so nice to you, James. But I had like that same kind of like, you know, like almost like broken puppy kind of like look in Orion's eyes. So I hope that we get to see her come back or something. Because I think that look wise, I love Orion's look. And I love her sense of fashion and such. But
I think she's gone. And I'm also sad by it. I think, I mean, when they show your ass getting in that car, like they're not just calling that car for you to go around a block. They're calling that car to take your ass home. You know what I mean? So
that's going right to LAX. That one is
right to there. Like it was lovely having you. Thank you for your stay. Please, you know, make sure you have all your items and belongings and we'll see you next time, girl.
We booked the check-in for you on this flight.
Put your seat in the upright position.
Because we do know that there is some sort of twist that is coming up, right? With these chocolate bars. Where we're all assuming that the chocolate bar is like somebody's salvation or redemption or key to safety or immunity or something. So I think, I think we are going to lose two queens off the top. And then somewhere along the lines, those chocolate bars are going to come in and save maybe two queens. And then we'll be back right back on the usual prolonged schedule of Drag Race until December 2022. So we'll see.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that was kind of why I was thinking about it because of that unclear twist that just we know has something to do with candy bars, right? I mean, is there anything else we know about it? I don't think so. I mean, I've seen a lot of speculation that it's like, you know, some former Big Brother twist and that kind of thing, but I don't think we have any confirmation, at least at this point.
The diamond power of veto.
Oh.
The golden ticket, the Willy Wonka bar, the everlasting gobstopper.
In Willy Wonka, like it was to take, he was like screening children to take over the factory. So is this a replacement for RuPaul?
Oh my God, please. We need that for all winter season.
Ooh, and then whoever gets the golden ticket and is like selected after torturing the rest of the queens gets.
Yeah. Which we know if you're going to say torture, it's just Bianca Del Rio.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh honestly.
Okay, yeah. So look, that's pretty much everything I have to say about the sort of the format. I think one thing, Beth, that you brought up was about the main challenge this episode, the fact that they went to the talent show, which is something that we've seen for All-Star seasons, but we've never seen for a regular quote-unquote season of Drag Race. And so I thought that that was actually a really fabulous choice, because if you genuinely want to, you are giving the onus to the queens, which I also think maybe covers their asses a little bit, because it's like, look, we let you do whatever you wanted. So you can't claim any type of rigor mortis, girl, when you say, blah, 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 whatever, right? They're like, we gave you 2 minutes to do whatever you wanted, and it was your choice.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, and I also love that we're clearly seeing, either because Drag Race has much more coin or because they have rights to things or whatever. It always used to be you couldn't lip sync because they didn't have rights to anything, which is why queens were writing original songs. And then it just turned into a really great marketing, like, oh, it's the first episode, like, here's my single, like, whatever. But now we're starting to see, like, the fact that we had, like, Nicki Minaj playing for Carrie Colby's, like, clearly they got rights on this show. Yeah. And they already had that as a lip sync. So maybe it's like, if we've done the song, we might still have the rights, and there's like a list or something that you can choose from. But I mean, like,
they had her on the show. At this point, I'm like, if you're going to have Nicki Minaj in the flesh, you might as well just like have all of her music. It's like you just sign, you know, sign it right on over to RuPaul. Like once they're on the show, it's like, all right, you sell your soul, you sell your catalog to the devil, essentially.
Part of the contract now.
Yeah.
And I just think like it makes more sense, because the whole point of like so many drag queens when they perform is that they're doing lip syncs. Like they do that in the club. They do it on tour. They're doing it on college campuses. Like that is what for the most part they're doing, or they're doing hosting or pageants. Like that's really what it is. And of course I have a package arriving right now, so I will be there.
She got the golden ticket. It's the bar.
Oh my God.
Bar.
Yeah. It's yeah, it's oh my God, I can't believe I just got this. So anyway, I had completely forgot what Beth was talking about. So I hope she remembers when she shows back up. No, it's fine. We're definitely not thrown for a loop. We're profesh, sis.
What'd you get?
I have no idea.
Go get it. What if it's fine?
Oh no, it's so here's what I've learned about living in New York City. If they can't get the person in the number that they're trying to deliver, they'll just literally hit everybody. So it was my turn. I'm on the third floor, so I get hit very often to open up the door for the entirety of all the delivery. So I don't even know if I got anything. It could have just been for somebody else.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Spring, is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. They've designed must-have travel styles for when you need to jet. The lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit make these shoes some of the most packable styles ever. That means more comfort and less baggage. Take the Superlight Tree Runner on your next adventure. Its cushy, lightweight foam midsole supports every step, and the extra outsole traction gives you the grip to just go for it. The eucalyptus fiber upper adds next-level breathability to keep you going all day. Plus, the Superlight Tree Runner is comfortable and ready to go right out of the box. So, what can you do in a Superlight shoe? What can't you do is the better question. And, because they're super packable, the real question is, where are you taking them? Experience how Allbirds redefines comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's ALLBIRDS.com, code SUPER24.
Okay, so Nicki Minaj, let's switch gears and talk a little bit about the guest this episode, Lizzo, because wow, she is so fun. So, okay, when I heard that Lizzo was going to be back as a guest judge, I so distinctly remember her from season 10 because I had never heard of Lizzo before that, I think, as a lot of people had, because it took a while for her music to kind of blow up. Like she had her, you know, what ended up becoming sort of her biggest singles with like Good as Hell had been out for a while.
Yeah, it was like 2016 or something like that. Yeah.
And it didn't end up blowing up until like later 2018 after she was a guest judge. So she was a relatively unknown at the time, you know, at least in terms of the mainstream. I remember my friend like calling me and being like, hey, have you heard the rest of Lizzo's catalog? It's actually really good. So we like started listening to it. It was like, oh, to see how far she's come was so cool to have her be like the premier guest judge. And I thought she absolutely deserved it and was really fabulous.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's been lovely to see her sort of blow up too, because I mean, I'd known who she was sort of like peripherally because one of my good friends from college was really into her, but I never really paid attention. And then I think one of her songs was on some Netflix movie and it got really, really, I think it was, oh my God, I'm forgetting the name of the song. The biggest one.
Good as Hell?
No, the other one. My God. On a Minnesota Viking. Truth Hurts.
Yeah, Truth Hurts. Yeah.
I think of it. I think that was like on some Netflix movie, and it just blew up from there. And then she was on Drag Race, and yeah, it just sort of, she just bursted all over the place. Now she's at the Met Gala, and now she's with, you know, having songs with like Cardi B and Ariana Grande's hopping on remixes, and like she's just everywhere. She's having her moment right now. So I think Lizzo just has like that magnanimous, good as hell energy that it's just, you know, just lends itself well, especially in queer spaces. I mean, the gays just love her. They can't get enough of her. So of course, I was really wondering, who are they going to have for like the season? Cause they've been making it a practice of having these big names come in for the premiere episode. And of course, Lizzo, of course. I don't know. I guess because she'd already been on before, she just wasn't in my view, but of course that makes all the sense in the world.
I love Lizzo. I follow her on every social media platform. Her TikToks are like some of my favorite things in the world. And the number one thing that, you know, as a curvier woman myself, one of the things I just love is how much she just loves her body. And it's in a world where we're constantly like breaking down people for being overweight or obese or curvy or whatever the case might be. I just love that you have someone who's like, I'm a fat bitch. I look beautiful, and what? And I'm like, yes, that's exactly the energy we need in 2022. So I love somebody who just radiates self-love, and that's what she does. And she also is so good about lifting up everybody else around her. And so she's a perfect judge for Drag Race for that reason, because she will tell you the truth about how she feels, but at the same time, she's going to do it from a place of love and try to water you with some like self-confidence and just, you know, give you your roses. And I love that. And that's a great first judge to have.
I mean, Water Me was the song.
I know. I tried to teach you like that.
I just like, you're so clever. Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, one of the great things about her too, is that, I mean, you know, well, I'm sure we'll talk about it later on, but you know, just how she, I think sometimes we have these people that come on the show to guest judge, and they're just like, they're just happy to be there. They're just like, oh my God, I'm going to be on RuPaul's Drag Race. It's like such a good show to be on right now. Oh my God, right? Publicist, thanks. But like with freaking Lizzo, she actually comes and gives good critiques, unique critiques, things that these queens can take. And, you know, it's like when Lady Gaga came and like had like handwritten notes for every single queen and like took over the entire Untucked episode. I was like, okay, Gaga, this ain't about you, but thank you, sis. But no, she just, you know, she really just comes and she gives a shit and she wants to be there and she's happy to be there. And
goes toe to toe with Michelle Visage.
She's not afraid to disagree with the other judges. And yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
I
love her.
I think that was my favorite moment when she's like, do not come from my girl Cornbread. It's like, yes, stand up for her. And it's just so refreshing to have a guest judge, yeah, who is willing to actually share their own perspective, which is always really fun. Pops into the workroom, but in a way that wasn't so Gaga-esque, that it was so overwhelming. It was just, she was there to just say hi to the queens and hang out and kiki and hang out. So
I love it. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah.
Fucking Gaga. I would never forget when she was back in that Untucked and she was going down everybody's name, and then she got to Aja and she was like, Aja? She's like, no, Aja. It's like, girl, you knew it was Aja. Like, literally, RuPaul said Aja on the stage like 10 times. Get out of here. I was so over her.
To be fair, you can't really go with what RuPaul says, because he messes around with Queen's name so often. Like, it very well could be like, Will Pill. Oh.
My God.
I can't. I can't with that, Beth. As the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, no. And then the third, and then the fourth, and then the fifth. And I was just dying inside, and you can see Willow's, the look on her face is just, you know, like, because it's this,
she's like, I've been chosen.
Yes,
I've been chosen as the favorite. It's me. It's me. Like, what do I do?
I will pill.
Obviously, I'm not going to speak on behalf of anybody, but if I was in Willow Pill's shoes and Rue decided to change my name to Willow Pill, oh, honey, no. I would be so upset about that.
Was that what she was going for in her name? Because now that RuPaul has like made that assumption, and she's like never corrected on it. So I'm like, is that what it was about? And I'm like, he's just taking it to the extreme.
I don't think so.
Or has RuPaul sort of just like made this thing up in his mind? Like, it's very crazy.
We all know RuPaul makes up this kind of shit and thinks that everybody else is in his mind and thinks it's funny. And it's just not the case. It's so cringe. It was bad. All I could think about was like, oh, this is this year. Like, Beth got all upset about the I-90 interstate in New York last year. He kept saying the cities incorrectly and there was no order to it. I'm like, oh, you know what? I would take that back, because at least there was that, not even for Utica, because it didn't make sense. She wasn't from Utica, New York, but I just was like, okay, well, that makes sense to a subset of people, which is like, you know, the 1% of people who watch the show in upstate New York. That's about it.
I'm just not a
Will Pill doesn't land with anybody, RuPaul, and I need you to stop.
And that's the thing is that I have never in any of the, you know, again, brief, albeit interviews, when Willow Pill has to introduce herself, I have never heard her say Willow Pill. So,
Willow Pill.
Oh, God, even saying it now, I'm like hating myself inside.
Willow Pill.
Okay, I think that we need to start a petition for RuPaul to just stop.
Change.org. Power of the people. We all know.
Call your representative.
Silence him.
Forgiveness.
America gets to choose the main judge on one episode per season. Let's just get him out of there one good time for a palate cleanser.
Thank you. When we are talking about true reform, not student loan forgiveness, not preventing our senators from being able to trade individual stocks. No. We are talking
RuPaul's drag race.
Defund RuPaul.
Defund RuPaul himself.
Specifically RuPaul. Defund World of Wonder.
Okay. All right, look, all criticism aside, what do we want to talk about next? What about thoughts on the queens? I mean, is there anybody who you guys felt like, oh, going into this, I have a certain perception of a queen, and then now after the episode being over, oh, wow, I'm surprised. For good or for
I mean, I think Cornbread gave us exactly what I was afraid of, but also elated to see. Just, you know, she's big personality, naturally funny. Everybody loves her. She's clearly going to be here for the long haul. She probably got the most DRs out of anybody. She's fun. The fact that when they were doing that mini challenge and that wheel, she was making that wheel spin by herself.
Like, how did she do that?
I don't know.
I feel like there was somebody like, behind.
That's what I thought too.
Okay.
The pit crew like disappeared. I was like, did they like where'd they go? Are they like working from home remotely? Like I was like, what is going on today? But she was so funny. Yeah, she was just a lot of fun. It just everything I thought that energy. She was gonna be, she delivered in that episode. So yeah, I'm a fan of Cornbread. Obviously, Carrie Colby. I mean, what is it? What else can there be said?
Done.
That is stunning a work woman. Of art of a human being.
And she probably had my favorite look on the runway. And like, I'm doing my best to like temper myself to like, I don't want to just like, you know, throw her flowers just because she looks good, because looks are only one thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, sometimes you just got to call a beautiful spade a fucking sexy ass spade. Like, it's just, it is what it is. Like,
I loved her entrance look. That just like super ethereal makeup with just the hints of the trans flag colors.
And the fact that she won that mini challenge with that, like, because half of those shots had to have been with that thing over her face, and she still won.
And here's the thing, she never allowed for that to like get her out of character. Like a lot of queens, when they have like whatever that weird photo shoot is going to be, oh, you're going to be in the water, you're going to jump into a pit, you're going to do these things. The fact that she still came out, and even through having all like drapes over her face, or whatever, was it able to still surface and look so stunned? Like, I mean, oh God, she was so beautiful.
And she seems like really sweet too, and very humble. Like, obviously, she knows she's great and everything, and she's beautiful. And all the queens showed her so much love when she walked into the workroom. She's like, well, I mean, I guess they're feeling the fantasy. Like, but she's like it's very tongue in cheek with. Tongue in cheek with her. She's not like full of herself from what we see so far. I mean, maybe, you know, it will hit the fan later on in the season, but for now it feels just nice, just, you know, just giving her flowers, because she owns it. She's beautiful. It's great.
She was also super supportive, I would say, in Untucked, which is always so, you know, just really nice to see. And I am oh my gosh, she's just so stunning.
Can I bring up something that came up on slight drama on Twitter?
Okay, yes, of course.
So I don't know if y'all saw this or not. And we do need to give credit where credit is due, where we're having queens who are being brought onto the show, who are transgender and it's like no longer that's their storyline. And a lot of that has to do with like the queens like Gia and Sonique and all these other queens that came before, right? And Jiggly and Peppermint. And Gia tweeted, I'm so happy for the doors that I've opened to see another like a trans queen come on for like their first time or something. It was basically like, look at the doors that I've opened that we have somebody be on who didn't even have to say I'm a trans queen or whatever, really. Like they, whatever. And Gottmik responded and's like, wow, I love my fake season. And then Gia said, let me clarify, trans women.
Yeah.
It's just like that moment where Gottmik had like so many more.
That was so funny. Yeah. It was like, I love my
energy.
So happy to see a trans person on actual season.
Oh,
of
damn. She got ratioed. Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Woo!
Badly, badly. Like 1-9 ratio.
Dang. 2000 to 18.
I know.
That was a moment, but I just wanted to bring that up for two reasons. One, because it's fun to discuss, but secondly, because I do think that that is an important fact here, that, you know, we have a trans contestant whose storyline isn't I'm trans. And like we can allow them to just be who they are and enjoy them.
Like, girl,
for the
okay,
art. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I can't wait for the rest of the world to catch up to those kind of things. But
it's awesome too, because, well, interesting rather, because Carrie was talking about, you know, when she walked into the room about how she's done pageants and she comes from like a legacy, or how she hasn't done pageants, but she comes from a legacy that does pageants. And I thought that was very interesting because she looks like she'd be a pageant queen. But so I was like, so what do you do then, girl? Like, if beauty isn't like your like main shtick in drag, then like what is? So I'm like, I'm very interested to see what else she brings. I'm surprised she's from Texas because, like RuPaul said, she don't sound, I'm tired of people from Texas not sounding like they are from Texas. Even people that we know, like Jacob Jones does not sound like he's from Texas. Chappelle does not sound like he's from Texas. I'm tired of these fake ass Texans. Like, make Texas
also
accents a thing. I'm over it.
So there's one other thing I want to say about Carrie, because I guess two things. So one, when Rue is doing the walkthrough and is talking to Carrie about, you know, a little bit of parental relationships, there's some drama there for Rue to mine, which is, you know, a good thing potentially for her chances, because here's some things we can manipulate about you when, you know, her and her mom are not really speaking. But then the one other thing that I did notice, this is so incredibly subtle and no one else probably cares, but Rue sets her up for a joke when she's like, oh, so you did double Dutch, which I assume is a joke and not a genuine question, because it's double Dutch, which is hilarious when you make an innuendo about it. And that she just completely whoosh, like right over her head. Now, of course, you're nervous. You're talking to RuPaul maybe for the first time. Totally get it. But that was just like immediately I was like, oh no, girl. Sense of humor.
How's your head?
Please, how's your head? Yeah. No complaints, please. No complaints.
I feel like the little Rue talks were interesting this time around, because, you know, I mean, normally he does it for like the walkthrough, but there's like so little queens and so many of them were just sort of just like watching the other, because I imagine the producers are like, okay, everybody shut the hell up one set while RuPaul's talking. Like, we don't want you guys talking in the background. So they literally don't have anything else to do but just sit there and watch the other queens get interviewed by Rue.
Pretend and that they're steaming an outfit.
Yeah, they're like listening, like, wait, what's she doing for the Maxi Challenge? Okay. So that's like interesting to me, because I feel like it sort of like puts more pressure on the queens. I mean, you already have the pressure from talking to RuPaul himself, and then you have, so, you know, your all of your answers are also being heard and analyzed by your fellow competitors. So I feel like that just sort of like adds a little bit of a tension to the room during those moments.
Absolutely. Just thinking, like, the only other time that you've spoken to RuPaul one-on-one is when you were being spun around on a wheel getting your photo taken. So this is like the first time you now get to actually have a conversation. And it's just like, guys, I was saving this for just RuPaul. So if you could like maybe not listen right now, that'd be
Oh, nice. during the mini challenge when they showed that shot, I think it was like, I forget who it was, either Willow Pill or Cornbread. And they showed like the point of view from the spinning wheel. And it's just nothing but like a camera RuPaul in your face, RuPaul just laughing and like darkness in the background. I was like, what is going on? Get him off. Get him out of there. Like, this is not it. This is some Get Out shit.
This is some Get Out shit.
You didn't hear her like cackling in the background. I was like, I would have quit right then and there.
Nope. That's worse than Dragula. That's an extermination challenge right there. Can you survive a room where you have to be spun in a, on a wheel where RuPaul's just laughing at you in a dark room?
This is like some hypnotism shit. I was not for it.
I'd be like, bring on the leeches. I'd rather do that. Get me
bury you in a coffin. No, the next thing they're going to do is take them and stick them in those funhouse mirrors. That's like, it's just the terrifying carnival. It gets worse and worse and worse as we go.
Oh my God.
The thing about the walkthroughs that I noticed, and of course I like can't help but notice, is of course the, you know, the manipulation of trauma. And I felt like we did get a lot of that. I'm hoping that it doesn't completely overwhelm this season. Of course, I think it's extremely important for, you know, the queens to feel comfortable being able to share their stories, because it can't, if they want, obviously they don't have to, they have no responsibility to do so. But if they want to do that, then it can help others who are watching the show. And so we get Willow, you know, sharing a little bit more about her disease and the darkness. But when Rue was like, so tell me about the darkness, it just felt really awkward.
Yeah.
He's like, so what do you take your medicine for?
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel like if Willow wanted to say that, they would have said, this is the disease I have and I have to take medicine for it. But the fact that like, I don't know. I really don't like people manipulating medical back. Like people being like, what do you have? It seems like it's so rude.
That's a nice disease you have. That would be good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be good for production.
More about that?
Is it painful? Like, is there like lots of like pain involved?
Oh, you've had your kidneys have shut down.
Oh, it's terminal. You're going to die soon. Oh,
okay. So we'll keep you on until this episode.
We'll give you a hug. Let me hug you.
I'm your white blood cells now. Like, I mean, like that's the stuff that like RuPaul would do, you know, and you're like,
So you really need the 100,000, don't you? Okay. We'll keep you on until episode like 9 and then cut you at the very end.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the three of us have this unlocked. Maybe we should be the new RuPaul. Have no drag experience between the three of us. And we'll be like, okay, so now we're going to send these three podcasters to come talk to you about your runway stuff. We just go through and go, So tell me a little bit about your relationship with your dad.
So you guys aren't speaking, hmm?
And how does that pain make you feel?
If you had to describe that pain in 5 words.
Show me on the drag queen where the pain really.
Show me on the puppet where did he touch you?
Oh man.
Oh god. Anyway, so all right. Yeah, I do want to talk a little bit about June Jambalaya, just like in general, because June was someone who I know we had talked in the preview. Like I had felt a little nervous about her. And I think you guys shared somewhat similar concerns. Mm-hmm. Her confessionals were fabulous. She's obviously a little bit more soft-spoken, but I was loving her on the show.
Mm-hmm. What I love about her is that not only is it just what she's saying is like, I'm just going to give you exactly how I feel. But I like that we have somebody who's not like, I don't know, like super loud about it. Who's just like, there's a quiet confidence there that I love about her. And she's just like, yeah, I'm going to do it like this and y'all better watch out. And I'm like, oh, I like that. You don't have someone who's like yelling into the camera. Like we've seen so many queens in the past do that. And I love that there's that quiet confidence and a little soft-spokenness.
I was nervous, man. I was nervous. I was like, I didn't draft this bitch. Now she's about to go home first. I was like, damn it. But she pulled it out. She pulled it out. I mean, I must say like her talent, I mean, it wasn't bad at all. I mean, none of the talents were, well, one of them was kind of.
One of them was questionable.
Yeah, so, but it was that damn hairpiece. Glue your shit down, queens. glue it down.
At that point, pull it down and just keep going. Like, I don't keep it around.
Stop
trying
neck.
To fix it.
Make
it, you know?
Yeah, keep it a neck. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, do what you need to do.
Oh, man. Okay, well, so let's talk about the main challenge. We already discussed this a little bit, the fact that we're bringing the talent show to a regular season. So we have the CNT talent show, the Charisma, Nerve, and Talent show. All it's missing is you. So that was cute. And I did think they did this last year when it was the, I don't know, whatever the songs were that they were doing. It was something with promoting the Work the World tour, which I thought was insensitive at the time, given, like, you know, the whole pandemic of it all. And they continue to do that here, which, given the whole pandemic of it all, like, I get it. But, you know,
which is also like coming weeks after, like, the Murray and Peter one had to cancel the rest of their tour because of, like, production members getting sick.
That's what I'm saying, is that it's when Omicron is we're getting the highest cases we've ever had, depending on the state. So it just felt really, oh God, could we not have just, like, cut that part? I mean,
or if you can't cut it, then make another screen that says, hey, we're sorry that this was already edited and in the can, and this we're acknowledging that this is irresponsible. We just want to put that out there.
I mean, I guess they're still going forward. Let's see, Work the World, let's see, tour.
I mean, people are trying to tour. Artists are trying to go back on tour. Yeah. Like, they don't give a damn. Like, they want their money, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't blame them for, but at the same time, I don't know. I just kind of Work the World, I feel like there's a little bit more responsibility for them to be more responsible in this kind of messaging, because I believe World of Wonder is a partner in their production. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you have the mass media way to literally on RuPaul's Drag Race promote, hey, it's a pandemic, go out there and see your queens, I feel like that's just like a little different. I don't know. But I agree. Like, you should be in. I'm going to put this out there too. There are ways to support your favorite drag queens and artists and all that kind of stuff without going to a large show, which is buy their merch, tip them on their various different cash apps, like those kind of things too. But okay, I mean, well, people do what they need to do.
It's still going on. I mean, it's scheduled for the summer, so maybe things will be better by then.
Yeah, hopefully.
You know, hopefully. If they're starting in Florida, so that makes sense.
I mean, you know,
that
there's
does not bode well for the rest of the tour. We're going to start in the worst place and get sick and cancel.
Anyway, as long as they're being safe, that's all we can hope for. Okay. So main challenge, we'll get into, you know, the various queens' performances, but we have to start out with one queen's performance. And that is our very own RuPaul Charles, who decided to grace us with a little number of her own at the start of the show. Now, we talked a little bit briefly pre-show, so I know that that everybody here has some thoughts about this particular performance.
I mean, it was so good. I was like, why are we even showing queens with actual talent? Like, this,
no need.
This is amazing. We can just watch a cardboard cutout, essentially, of RuPaul on stage, walk to the left, then to the right, to the back of the stage, back to the front, and not even know the words to his own song. I mean, come on. Pretty amazing.
Just outstanding.
I loved it.
Yes, be the Lizzo of the panel. Come on, come for us.
I loved it. I don't really listen to RuPaul's music. I don't be really giving a shit. But I was like, you know, cleaning my house the other day, just running some errands. Like, my office closed on Friday because we had like a bit of a snowstorm. So I was just like, oh, free day to just, you know, catch up on life stuff. And I was just like scrolling through Apple Music, and I just kept seeing advertisements for Mama Ru, Mama Ru, Mama Ru, like her new album that came out on the 7th, the same day as the premiere. I was like, okay, let me put on some RuPaul. And I was like, okay, there's a couple bops here. I like this little cute project. And then Catwalk came on, and I was like, this is going to be the song for the runway. This is going to be the song for the runway. It's giving very much like Mighty Love vibes from season 11. It's giving very much groove. Like, it's, this is it. This is the song that they come out and they're just like, and you feel your oats. And then when she came out, and that song was playing, I was like, oh, yes, I knew it. So maybe this is a little bit more self-congratulatory than it necessarily need be. but I still was feeling it. You know, like RuPaul is like getting up there in age, right? Like, I mean, you can't be a shimmy shaker forever. You shake a little bit too hard, something comes loose after a certain age. So I won't.
Yeah, I'm 33 and I can't shake it anymore. So.
I won't be mad at him just, you know, walking and, you know, doing what he needs to do. I thought it was like, you know, just cute. It wasn't anything spectacular, no. But, I mean, it's what he normally does anyway. So, I don't know. I like the song a lot. I like the song and
I'm a fan of it. The song was good.
Yeah.
Dancers were good.
I
don't know if RuPaul is responsible for half the work on that album, but I like it.
The parts where they sing.
Like about 50% of the vocals, because the rest is auto-tune. No, look, RuPaul's music has been with me. I was telling Puya this earlier because I was like, I don't know what I want to listen to. So I just opened up like YouTube to just like play songs. And it's like 50% Little Mix, 30% Drag Race music, 20% RuPaul. Whittle Mix. Oh, God. Little Mix. No. Do this to me. So yeah, I would be a hypocrite when I'm like listening and not so secret. But I think for me, it's just the contrast between having RuPaul do just, you know, the Mariah Carey, like, let me just sort of and like stand here and chill.
Queens with talent. That's the thing.
Yes. And then have June Jambalaya come out and do absolutely amazing, you know, professional African dance styles next. That was just the like funny thing for me, is to have those two things back to back.
I'm sorry, I'm going to put that out there too. Obviously, Catwalk is a bop in its own way, but then have Cornbread come out with an original song that is entertaining in so many other ways, in addition to sounding good. Like, I don't know. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Cornbread's single, where is it? Where do I buy it? Because. Yeah. It was so good. When she said she was going to be I have a million thoughts. First of all, it was absolutely fantastic. I loved it. It was such a bop. I was like, this is legitimately good. Because, you know, sometimes the queens come out and do their own song. And it's like, yeah, this is fine. But this was actually genuinely shot to the top of my list of music that I wanted to listen to. That not and me. Then the fact that she was telling all the queens in the workroom, I'm going to eat 100 hot dogs. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to see that, though. Not
but I love her playing the game.
Yeah,
The game. I'm gonna psych y'all out. I'm actually gonna do my own song. And
this is some All Stars 8 audition material right here.
If she wins, I still want her on All Stars. I don't care. I want her on All Stars now.
I can imagine she'll be back. Well, we'll see. But anyway, I was shocked. Yeah. I was fat. I was gagged. It was gooped. It was amazing.
No, yeah, it was great. And I was so scared though, because when they were doing like the talks with her, I was like, damn it. Like, she had already convinced the queens that she was eating all those hot dogs. Like, well, now is she going to lie to RuPaul too? Like, but then they didn't show her.
That would have been so good. That would have been so good if she was like, I'm going to be doing professional eating, and then came up on stage. And then RuPaul's like, I thought you were going to do professional eating. And then she's like, well,
she did. I did eat. I ate the girls up, baby.
I ate the chicken wing on my necklace. It was so good.
So yes, that was a bop. Again, I did a 30-second Google search. So if someone can tell me where to find it, please send that my way. Okay. Any other performances you guys want to talk about?
I think we need to talk about Orion's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's important.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think I figured out what Orion's issue is.
Okay. Tell us.
Orion has no fear of failing, which is wonderful, but doesn't have self-awareness. And I think it's a really interesting mix. And that's like what makes, I think, some things like more awkward, rather, because you're like, yeah, you have like, you don't have a fear of failure. You have like a lot of self-confidence, which is fantastic. We'd love to see that. But you also don't have the self-awareness to understand contextually maybe how you're coming off, or the ability to read what would make your audience right there laugh. And I think that is what the missing ingredient for Orion is. Because I will say this, I loved her runway. I loved her entrance look. I have loved every look from the promo onwards. I don't always like her makeup, but that's a me thing. That's like, who gives a shit what Beth thinks about her makeup? You know what I mean? I think the one thing that she's missing is that self-awareness or people reading, like that. It's like a slash. I think that's her issue. And it comes across as awkward and not as fun to go on the ride with her.
I think Ross put it best when she said, or he said, we just sort of like witnessed a workshop of the character. I think it had, like, there were moments where some of the jokes landed, but the unfortunate reality is that most of it did not land. And I think it could have been a really good one if she maybe you fine tune some of those jokes a little bit more. Maybe your delivery needs to be, maybe you need to go a little further with the character. I feel like you could have done more. Maybe have some props, maybe have one of your titties
fall out. Have a soundtrack of some sort in the background too, because it is deafening. When something's not landing, it's awkward.
Yeah. I love that the queens were like super supportive, like curious, but they're like, okay, So now, I mean, she definitely, you know, had some support in the audience, but yeah, it just wasn't landing. I think that it just, unfortunately.
She talks about it a little bit, I think it was an Untucked. Now I can't remember, but how she had to leave her apartment right as she had to leave for Drag Race. And so she wanted to do her own song, but didn't have time to record it. And so she ended up having to go with this. But I totally agree that it did feel like, even though you're having to do it last minute, it didn't feel fully fleshed out. And that could be a product of she just didn't have the time to work on it.
She probably thought they were going to have like a full premiere and she might be able to skate by with 14 other queens. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was also, and I don't want to compare too much, but it was semi-similar to what Crystal Method had done previously with that kind of like workout routine that was for something. Anyway, and it was just not, as you know, you can't help but sort of think about that, and it just wasn't as funny or fleshed out. And so I think that that was also sort of part of the issue there. And I totally understand why she ended up in the bottom.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But I think to look at Orion's in contrast with Willow's, you know, you could look at that and say, like, those are both two super surreal pieces of art, like performance art. So explain to me why Willow is in the top and Orion is in the bottom too. You know,
and yeah.
I think that
because Willow showed and did not tell.
That's true.
Maybe if there was some sort of like dialogue or something with Willow, then maybe would have been like, let's not do that. Okay. But she should have just like, she showed us her heart instead of telling us her heart. So I think that really put her over the edge.
I did think with Willow's for a second, it was going to be that Enya Lil Jon remix. You know what I'm talking about? I've seen it on TikTok.
I would have
like,
loved it.
Get crunk with it. Get loose with it. Like, she transitions into that. That's what I thought it was going to be at first. but I think the moment I liked about Willow's the most was when she like, she grabs the toaster and you're like, oh my God, she's going to electrocute herself in the bathtub.
Yeah,
and the toast just pops up.
It's so
good.
That
was my like personal favorite moment. But otherwise, yeah, totally weird. Super
but
weird.
But that's the thing. If she didn't have the toaster, that whole thing would have fallen apart. Mm. Like it literally landed on, will people get the toaster? That's literally it. Because if it didn't, it'd be like, what did I just watch? And there's no point to it. But the point with her, you know, with the toaster was it. I loved it after the toaster, but leading up to it, I was like, what am I watching?
What is going on?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think I had something similar. And then I'm not saying that that made everything else make sense, but at least I maybe sort of got it a little bit more.
Right.
But yeah. Another queens I want to talk about is Bosco's because look, I was very high on Bosco going into the season. Beth, Bosco was your first pick. To me, it was like, yes, that makes sense. So when Bosco described, yes, I'm going to do burlesque, but with the comedy cheeky side of it. Of course, my first thought was Ben de la Creme and All Stars, right, with the burlesque, but then all of the nipple tassels kind of joke. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For me, this, I was like, what's the funny part?
I 100% agree.
Like,
I 100%
coming
agree.
Out of her butt crack, like the bussy flower.
And the thing about the flowers for me, like the petals weren't petaling. Like, he loves you not, girl. Like, all of them were like all the way down here. I was like, so the illusion is already gone for me.
But also, she was walking and was sideways when she was like, you go to the front and do that if you're gonna, I don't know.
Or like something to make it more the she, or maybe like I just didn't get it. Like the she loves me not, you know, like mm-hmm. Something more with that. I felt like it was one of those moments where I had high expectations and it wasn't bad. It was fine. No. But of all the burlesque that we've seen, Ben de la Creme did it better with the comedy. And then mm-hmm.
Roxy Andrews did it better. Because you can't beat Roxy Andrews because she's sexy as fuck.
Attractive queen. So and then Bosco's attitude in Untucked also was just a little bit like, this is leaning towards overconfidence cockiness for me, which I'm not saying that that's going to necessarily hurt her in the competition, but what if she gets criticism, is she going to be able to take it? Because we heard Rue say at the beginning of the runway criticism nonsense, listen to what we are saying. And so I wonder if that's going to come back at some point. And I feel like Bosco could be one of the queens that suffers from not hearing the criticism.
I did catch that too. Go ahead, Beth. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just going to say, I think that'll be interesting to watch. I think when I think of overconfident queens where it's worked for them in the competition, I think of people like Violet. And I could see that with Bosco, because it seems like they have some similarities, with their some of their drag aesthetics come from like very different points of view, but there will always have that somewhat burlesque, high fashion, Dita Von Ritz, Von
Teese.
Teese. Oh my God, Ritz. Good job.
Dita Von Ritz. Like Dita Ritz mixed with Dita Von Teese. Yeah.
That's amazing. Actually, somebody should be that drag queen. I'm putting it out there. I need a burlesque Chicago queen. It would be so good.
Dita Von Ritz. The Ritz bitch. No, but I caught that too, Liana. Like there was like a little bit of a tense moment whenever they were going over the critiques in Untucked, and they were all giving Willow Pill her flowers, especially Cornbread, saying like, I misjudged you. I thought that that look that you came in with was was a little suspect, but you turned it out and you were that bitch. You probably got the best critiques out of the entire group. And Bosco just felt the need to put herself in there saying, well, not everybody. And she's like, well, yeah, everybody, because she got the best critiques. And Bosco's like, well, they didn't give me any critiques. I was like, well, okay, well, then by definition, then yes, she got the best critiques. If you didn't get any critiques, and that means that she got the best ones. So I was like, okay, Bosco's like, what's going on here? Like, are you feeling yourself? You smelling yourself? Mm-hmm. That's the upper lip, bitch. Like, calm down. Like, so we'll see what happens.
That's your upper lip. All right. Are there any runways in particular that you want to talk about? Because I'll kick things off for me. And we haven't talked a lot about her in general, but Alyssa Hunter. Her performance was fine. I'm happy that she did the rock performance, but like, I agree to the judges. It did feel one note, although the criticism of like, we're supposed to know who you are. Shoot me.
No, I agree with them on this. This is the one opportunity. There are seven queens there. We're focusing on trying to get to know who you are. We give you the opportunity to show who you are. And her one thing that she said in the confessional was, this is not who Alyssa Hunter is. So I think this is going to help me. And I was like, you're dumb if you think that. That is absolutely, they literally set this up for you to say, who are you? Show us who you are. Show us your talent. Show us these things.
Yeah, that's fair.
I agreed with them on that.
She's lovely. She's lovely to look at. Oh, yeah. Like, she's gorgeous. And I was definitely also like, como estas? Fue descansando la noche. Like,
great.
Like, But yeah, no, I sort of agree. It's a little, I feel like a lot of her stuff was sort of disjointed. I feel like she came in wanting to do a bunch of things and it just sort of didn't really land.
She literally talks that she wants to be versatile, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, don't verse yourself out of the bed, sis. Like, you need to figure this out right now. Because yeah, and then she was, you know, talking about like, oh, I love to play the guitar, I love rock and roll. It's like, well, then you didn't do either of those things. You didn't play the guitar, and it was just
oh yeah, the fact that they all clocked
the guitar without any cords connected to that guitar, nor was there any receiver on it. And then she was also wearing those gloves. I was like, there is no way. There is no way she's playing that guitar.
And then all the other queens clock her.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Like, you said you're going to play the guitar. That is not playing the guitar. That's like not even
miming.
Yeah, exactly. But her runway, the My Fair Lady runway.
That was my favorite runway.
It was so good. I thought it was so pretty. It was so pretty. It just ostrich feathers, darling. Really well put together. So I think she's going to bring a lot of fabulous looks. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that we get to know more about her as the season progresses.
I think that that's the one thing that hurts, quote unquote, can hurt pageant queens is that they're used to having to do everything for a score without actually having to show who they truly are. Now, obviously, the best queens do both and are versatile in a variety of different ways. And I think she's so overthinking the like pageantry of Drag Race that her ability to like, yes, it's a pageant, but it's mostly a reality show. So we need to see who you are as a part of the reality show. I think that that's the part that she's missing and overthinking. But clearly, she has more than enough chops for this show.
Well, no, Cornbread really got her together, like from jump. Like when she walked in and Cornbread was like, said, tell us about yourself. Like, what do you do? And Cornbread's like, well, I do, or I, Alyssa said, I do everything.
Yep.
And she's like, well, hold on. Like when you say you do everything, they all usually cut to you doing nothing. And not that she didn't do nothing. Like she didn't do nothing. Like she, you know, she did what she needed to do, but it, yeah, like you do sort of need to focus on one thing. Like it's amazing. All these queens, the future queens, past queens, it's amazing that you're all so talented. It's amazing that you can dance and you can sing and you can sew and you can lip sync and paint your nails. It's amazing that you're talented in all those things, but with cook and clean and all that stuff. Lovely.
Oh my God. Cooking challenge. Again.
Yeah, we do need that kind of. We should get that. But you need like RuPaul's Drag Race is all about branding. It's all about marketing. Yeah. It's a competition. It's supposed to be bite-sized, digestible bits for the viewer and for RuPaul because he's getting old and needs his food cut up for him. And it is what it is. So you just need to be able to package yourself in a way that is easy to understand. And if you don't do it, can't follow that, then you're out the door. So hopefully Alyssa can figure that out and, you know, you see a little bit more from her.
Yeah, I agree. Any other runway looks that y'all want to talk about?
Willow Pill was giving the claw.
No, not the Toy Story aliens.
That's all that I could see the entire time.
I just loved that Michelle Visage hated it so much because of the color. I think that's the thing. People just like were like, oh, we don't like the color. And I was like, okay, well, it's like a house. If you don't like a house that has the color, like, you could paint it another color. So do you like everything else about it? Or is the color really the issue here? And she didn't get like any critiques other than we don't like the color green.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the Kermit the Frog hands. Don't forget the Kermit.
Well, yeah. Which I thought that was great.
Right. Yeah.
I loved Bosco, or not Bosco. The girl that just went home. What's her name?
Orion.
Oh, Orion.
I loved Orion's look.
It was very Cindy Lou Whore. I enjoyed that a lot. Nice homage to Evie Oddly.
Well, and it allowed RuPaul to make a cotton picking joke.
Yeah, that was a choice.
It was a choice.
That was a choice.
And Lizzo kind of skated the line too with like the whole KKK joke with
Carrie.
I was like, okay, there's lots of race jokes going on today. Y'all feeling frisky. Like, what's going on? Like,
oh man.
But yeah, this is why I was I'm still hoping, even though I do agree with you guys, when the letters were read, when Orion got letters from the other girls, it's like, oh, okay, it's probably over. But I want to see more because the looks, Beth, what you were saying, that they're really interesting. And it was, you know, we talked about this in the promo, but, or the preview that was, oh, does she really want to be here? Her mom seems to be the one who's pushing her. But then she talks about how much she loves making her own looks. And then I was like, oh, okay, I get it. So this is where a lot of your inspiration comes from. That's the thing that you're passionate about, which means that the looks that she brings to the runway, I think are going to be stunned. And so I'd love to see more of those, but we may never get that. Well, we can always hopefully follow her on Insta.
She'll post them on Instagram.
Exactly.
See it that way.
Okay. I think that does it. No, it doesn't. One more look I do want to discuss. Willow's entrance look. I just walked into the mall.
Oh, yeah.
With the platform angle. The angle shirt. Giving me life. I remember everybody looking at Evie oddly when she came in with the race car and and we've seen this happen even from as early as season 3 with Raja with the weird like monster eye felt hat thing. So I just love the queen.
Jujubee has been on like 7 seasons and has worn outfits like she's at the mall, and she has been fine on the show.
No need to worry.
Yeah, I liked it. I agree with what Carrie said in Untucked. It was very irreverent. It was very, you know, it was meant to sort of like, you know, everybody walks in with like glitz and glam, but you don't need to do that. It's just the entrance look. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, yeah, you want to make an impression. You want to look good. Don't come in, you know, looking like freaking, what's her face? Why am I having such trouble with
Monet Exchange?
That one too, but I was talking about.
Is it bad that that's where my brain went? Come on, Bonnie.
But a leotard, honey, this is all stars.
Katie Gerwig,
it's not stunning. I live for Monique Hart, like always reading Monet in the title.
It's so good. It's so good.
Same.
But no, I was talking about, she was just on All-Star 6. What is her name? Season 7 as well. Why can I not remember her name?
Ginger.
Oh my God. What's wrong with me today? Yeah, as long as you're not looking like that, like, you know, a glamour toad, then, you know, you should be fine.
Let's be honest with that. That was the worst entrance look
so
of any season of all time. And I love Ginger Minj. That was awful.
Yeah.
It didn't even say toad.
Let alone
glamour toad.
It said something.
You were missing both parts of the assignment. Fail. All right. Well, next week we are getting the second half of the premiere. So we're going to meet the 7 remaining queens, and we're going to have special guest Alicia Keys, which I'm also very excited for. And we are getting another round of the talent show. So good. We'll get to see what the queens bring to the stage. I have one more thing that I want to put y'all on, and this is about Maddie Morphosis. So Alaska, I think it's on Willem's channel though. So they did a parody. It was called The Queens They Don't Want You to Meet. And Alaska does a parody of Maddie Morphosis, and it is so, so funny. It is every stereotype about straight drag queens. It's just, it was so funny. So check that out. That's your homework before next week's podcast. But that does it here for us. So Aman, where can people find you on social media? What are you up to?
You can find me at Aman Adwin on Twitter and Instagram, as well as Twitch. You know, back here, obviously, for Drag Race. Still got my ugly podcast going on over at the Choir Room with Matt Liguori. And I am now covering Euphoria on HBO Max with Grace over on Post Show Recap. So if you're into season 2, I think the premiere is actually later tonight. So yeah, check us out over there as well.
Perfect. And Beth, what about you?
You can find me at AugustaWind11 on all of my social media platforms, including Twitch. Still on my weekly meltdown. We're in the off season right now of like Big Brother, that kind of stuff. So we've been doing Brant Steals and just silly shows. You can also catch me on Hot Mess Moments with Dylan Zahner, where we're talking about Lost and The Nanny. We're getting towards the end of season 2 of both shows. So it's been a fun journey.
All right, fabulous. And you can...
One last thought that I had, sorry.
Yeah, no, go for it.
I forgot about during Willow Pill's performance when she pours the wine into the tub and then she pours the spaghetti into the tub and then it cuts to the judges and Willow or Lizzo is like, bitch, what the fuck, girl? I would have ate that. I died.
The judges' reactions were everything.
But that was it.
All right, good. No, and with that, we'll leave you with that. You can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. Please leave your star ratings and reviews for us on iTunes. You can easily do that by going to robhasawebsite.com/dragrace. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes for all of his fabulous work. And we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.